Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Mercy moments. I believe in our nation we are seeing a lot of mercy moments. God is merciful. God is merciful. And when we look in the Word and just look to understand what mercy means, I think we should start with Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And let's go to verse 21. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. And this verse in the New Living Translation actually has the word hope in it as well, because we've been talking about, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is very important in our life, and hope is tied very tightly to our faith in God. Verse 21, Lamentation 3. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. Now, if you don't remember what Lamentations is about, this book is called the book by the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. Because of Israel's sin, the nation had come under judgment, and God's protection was no longer there. The temple is a mess, the city's a mess, the nation's a mess. It's not safe really anywhere. And in the midst of that condition, the author says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. So when you're going through difficult times, this may be an important scripture to remember for us as well. Look at verse 22. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. Never ceases. The unfailing love of the Lord never ceases, never fails. His mercies, by His mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. We have not received what we deserve, because the wages of sin is death. All of us have sinned. If we'd received our just deserves, none of us would be here today. We would have already been dead. But the mercy of the Lord withholds and withheld the judgment of God to give us an opportunity to be awakened by His grace and love. By His mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. Verse 23, great, great is His faithfulness. I love that song. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow in turning with Thee. In other words, God doesn't have a bad day and forget His love for us and His mercy toward us, which is awesome. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin when? Every day. Every day. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. I say to myself in verse 24, if you're going to talk to yourself, this is the way you need to talk to yourself. The Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in Him. So mercy describes an attribute of God, a characteristic of God. The Scripture tells us that God is rich in mercy, that His mercy is great, that His mercy is revealed through everything that God does. You can find mercy. I remember being at Martin County. It was actually their long-term prison that's out west of town. And talking with the guys that night, I asked them a question. The fact that you are here, is this the result of God's judgment or is it the result of God's mercy? And of course, many of them felt like it was judgment. I'm getting what I deserve. And many felt like they didn't deserve to be there. But I wanted them to understand that it's the mercy of the Lord that allows us to still be alive and have opportunities to make right choices regardless of the wrong choices we've already made. The mercy of the Lord is awesome. In Titus chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, but let me read it to you. Titus chapter 3, 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the most wonderful descriptions of God's mercy as revealed in Jesus Christ. And here it is. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God's mercy. God's mercy not only forgives and saves us, but it also withholds the judgment that we deserve. And it actually removes it from our record. We're no longer under that judgment. I am so glad that Nova was able to share a little bit this morning, because her testimony is that at a low moment when she was all alone, and she had no idea what was going to happen, God was with her. She wasn't alone. And you experienced a mercy moment where God showed up when you stood there and they said, your case has been dropped. And so God is still in the miracle business and God is in the mercy business. And so I want to talk a little more about mercy this morning. When I was listening to President Trump the other evening, again, he just keeps mentioning Franklin Graham told him to clean up his language. I love it. I love it. You know, he just keeps saying this. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God anointed Franklin Graham to speak to President Donald Trump and tell him, you don't have to speak with street language to get a point across. Now, I can tell that President Trump is struggling with his flesh, and he said it's really difficult for him to be careful in what he's saying. He said, maybe I can just use a little bit, just a little bit. But I can tell God's dealing with him. Every time he slips, he has to say something. And so I just say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because the mercy moment in President Trump's life back on Saturday, what, a week ago Saturday, when that bullet came that was intended to blow his head apart, missed him other than his ear, I believe that was a wake-up call to President Trump to recognize that his life is not on his schedule. I don't care how rich you are, how much power you have, how much influence you have. It doesn't matter, President Trump. The point is God is sovereign and God is in charge of our life. The enemy does not have that authority over a child of God. Your life and my life is in the hand of God, and God knows how to take care of you and me just as much as He knew how to take care of President Trump. And He was talking about, well, it was, you know, this information up here from the border, and He's talking about that, but He has been giving glory to God. I don't remember hearing Him give so much glory to God ever in the past. I hear Him saying that it is providence, that God is the one who saved him. He's acknowledging that, and that is an awesome thing to do. And I believe the mercy moment of God was a moment in his life to awaken in him the reality that God is right there with him. God is with him. I know many have prayed with him, but I remember a gentleman that was in our church. I prayed with him many times, and his name was Bob. And his wife, she was a wonderful saint, and prayed with Bob, prayed the sinner's prayer with Bob, and Bob You know, he was just a hard-hearted guy, and he actually broke his neck before he would even pray the sinner's prayer, and he was given up for dead before he had prayed the sinner's prayer. And then after he came out of that and was still alive, and we prayed with him all those times, Gil was visiting with him one day, and Gil asked him about his relationship with the Lord. And he had a hope-so relationship, not a no-so. And so Gil came to me and said, "Pastor, I believe we need to keep praying for Bob because he doesn't have the certainty that he's a child of God." And I went up there one day and I had that conversation with Bob, and God told me what to tell him, and we had a conversation, and that day Bob fully surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And so I don't know where President Trump is. I just know I see a change happening in his life, and I give God glory for that, just as I do for anyone's life. Keep praying. Keep praying. We're praying for a righteous leader to be raised up, and we're praying for the deception and the evil that the enemy is seeking to bring to our land will be exposed, and that our people will be awakened in America, and that we will have the knowledge of God. God knows who should be in office. Amen? And so I'm praying that God will have mercy on us. And so praise God. So we're talking about mercy this morning, and I'm confident of this. If it wasn't for God's great mercy, all of us would have been destroyed. Every one of us in this room. President Trump is not the only one that's had a mercy moment, and neither is Nova. If you think over your life, I want you to think this morning for the next 20, 30 minutes about how God has been merciful to you. Mercy is an attribute of God wherein God knows that you don't deserve His love and His grace and His salvation, but He sent His Son so you could have it. And through Christ, we do. All right. Mercy moments. Mercy moments I would describe as being a sovereign visitation of God. It's where God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes in the Word of God through angelic messengers, but God sovereignly breaks the course of normal or natural history to show up and to encounter a person in their life. Now, if you are in the kingdom of God this morning, you've had one of those encounters, because no one can come to Jesus unless you have a God encounter. The Word says no one comes unless you are drawn by the Holy Spirit. And so this is the way God works in our life. Oftentimes, that visitation moment, that mercy moment, you could call it almost miraculous. I believe, I'm speaking for Jonathan, I believe that every person has had miraculous moments by the grace of God. I just believe that. I believe the Word of God testifies to that. Romans chapter 1, it says that when we come before God, no one is going to have an excuse before God. That tells me that God has knocked on every person's heart and called them to come to faith. So, it's a sovereign visitation. It's a God encounter. It's often miraculous. And it's often difficult to explain. When you're trying to share exactly what has happened, some of the things that God does in our life is just difficult to tell someone else about. In fact, the Scripture says this. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." The only way an unsaved person can find out exactly how good God is to surrender to Him and let God touch their life, and then respond by faith, and then they have an opportunity to actually experience that. Well, these moments of mercy, these mercy moments, they may be initiated simply by God, because I believe God's mercy is extended to everyone. But I want you to think about this. These moments of mercy may be initiated by somebody that's praying, interceding, that's standing before God, praying on behalf of a family member, lifting up a neighbor, lifting up a situation that you've just seen, something that's going on that God has burdened your heart about, and you're praying for that. And so I believe that it may be initiated by prayer of the saints. Do any of you remember Abraham? He had a nephew, didn't he? His name was Lot, who made a bad decision to move to Sodom, much like America today. And he moved there. He started moving in that direction, but he ended up in the city. He started out with all of his cattle. He was going to be out in the fertile fields, but he ended up living in Sodom. But he had Abraham who was praying for him. And if you remember how Abraham is really interceding with God, and he's praying on behalf of Sodom, and he talks about if there's just one, if there's five, if there's 10, if there's 50. He goes through, he starts with a high number and drops down, gets to 10 actually, not one. But he gets down to 10. And he's saying, but God, would you save the city if there were this many? Would you save the city if there were this many? Would you save the city if there were this many? That's intercession. That's like Moses. When Moses, God was ready to destroy the whole nation, and Moses stood up and said, no, no, and interceded for his nation. His nation was saved. So I believe that mercy moments often are birthed by prayer and intercession by the church. And I do believe that many people have prayed for probably every one of us in this room. A lot of prayers have been offered up for us. Some of you have prayed a lot for your family members and those that need the Lord. And God hears you when you pray. And I believe that mercy moments are multiplied and extended because of your faithfulness to intercede and pray. Is there anyone that's with me this morning? Be an Abraham. Pray for your lots. And pray for Sodom, even if it's America, that God has mercy on our land. And so often it's initiated by prayer. What about fasting? I believe mercy moments are initiated by God when people humble themselves and fast and seek the face of God. You remember Nineveh? 40 days. They had 40 days. That was the message. 40 days, God's going to destroy this nation. 40 days. And Jonah didn't want to go, did he? And you know why he didn't want to go? Because he knew God was merciful. He knew God was merciful. You see, Jonah actually wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. And that was his desire. And he didn't want to see Nineveh receive the mercy of God. But God knew how to get a hold of Jonah and get him where he was supposed to be, didn't he? And Jonah ended up there, even though he didn't want to preach, he ended up there. He ended up wanting to do that more than dying in the belly of a fish. And they began to fast and pray. And God listened. God listened to them. And so when sinners fast and pray and seek God, God often releases His mercy moments to that individual, maybe to that nation, so that they can have a turnaround. So prayer is often a tool that releases God's mercy. Fasting and humility often releases the mercy of God. Intercession often releases the mercy of God. And it's possible in the midst of God's mercy moments that a community is transformed. Remember the woman at the well? She had a miraculous moment of God's mercy when she went there and Jesus was at the well. She ended up coming to faith in Yeshua. She found Yeshua and she went into her community, and it was a community-wide revival. When we look at Nineveh, it's a national revival that takes place. And so it's very possible that in the midst of what's taking place right now, God is seeking to bring a regional, a national revival to America, as we see some awesome ministry moments. When we look at Paul's life, and I want you to look there with me in Acts chapter 9 for a few moments, we see a wonderful picture of this. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, it tells us, verse 1, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. You remember before he became Paul, he was Saul. And he was the poster child for the temple. They really liked Paul. He was out after those Christians to arrest them and to see them even put in prison or put to death. And that's what he was doing. It says he was eager, verse 1, to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them back, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. But Saul's about to have a mercy moment. A mercy moment. Some of you have relatives, and if you can just agree with me this morning, we're going to pray and believe some of our relatives have a mercy moment that maybe, I always talk about him being knocked off his high horse, and somebody told me we have no record that he was on a high horse, so I won't say that this morning. Well, I guess I just did. But God knows how to bring His mercy in a moment, and transform an individual's life. And this is Saul. Listen, there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. You know what Paul said about himself? He said, I am the chief of sinners because I sought to persecute and kill the servants of the Most High God. Paul identified himself as being one who was hardened, who was committed against the work of God. But here he is. He's getting ready to have a mercy moment. As he was nearing Damascus on this mission, a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. Now, a lot of people talk about seeing the light, near-death experiences, and they saw the light. And we even have a song about, I saw the light, right? Well, let me tell you, seeing the light's not enough. We need to see Jesus. That's who we need to see. And just seeing the light is no guarantee, because we know the enemy can come as an angel of light, deceiving, right? But Saul saw a light that came from God. A brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he responded, Who are you, Lord? Who are you? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you are to do. That is a wonderful account of a mercy moment in Saul's life. Now, when I look at that, or you look at that, if I ask the question, what kind of a mercy moment was that? How was that established? Was someone praying for Saul? Well, it's very possible that a lot of those Christians that were coming under attack and their lives were being threatened, that they were praying against the plan of the enemy, just like we pray against the plan of the enemy today. And as we pray against the plan of the enemy and against the working of darkness by those who are authorities over us, do you see that Saul was in authority and he was given authority to arrest and destroy the church? But God had a plan to arrest him and destroy the plans of the devil instead of God's people being destroyed. This was the plan of God. We look at things, look at people who are in government, people who are in high positions, and we should recognize that God's mercy is giving them a moment to make a decision, but pray that there will be a heavenly visitation, a God encounter that awakens their heart and opens their spiritual eyes so they can see. Saul loses his physical sight at this time, but we know the Lord will send Ananias, and he will anoint him. He will receive the Holy Spirit. His eyes will be open, and he will understand that God is at work in his life. And we end up finding Saul's name being changed to Paul, and we find out a great disciple being raised up in the church. And I believe God is going to raise up many more new young apostles to stand and preach in this generation. You know, Billy Graham's gone, right? But God's anointing is not gone. God is going to raise up others to minister and to speak. So we see that mercy moments are initiated by God. However, there is a day of invitation. There is a day of opportunity.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hey, everybody, this is Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Harbinger, The Return of the Gods, and now The Dragon's Prophecy. Join me with my dear friend, Paul Wilbur, who's going to be doing worship, an evening of praise and inspiration, and I'm going to be giving a prophetic word, and it's going to be at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th. In the Fenn Center at Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm going to be praying for Israel. I'm going to be praying for America in these prophetic times. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. That's tccalliance.com. I'll see you there. Shalom.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet. Pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I hurt you. Lost so many times, I'll find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
You shed for my sins,
shed for my sins.